You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell.
And we're so happy to be back. We've been off on hiatus for 3 weeks. That was the Hot Texas Swing Band, as always, opening tonight's show with their original song, Hot Texas, and we thank them for that. And we are really glad to be back. Jim, What did we do?
Yes.
Where were we?
Well, we're a big part of the Western Music Association, and they had their annual convention here, right here in Albuquerque, where we are. We were definitely involved in music promotion, a couple of concerts, afternight programs, a sing-along. It was exciting times.
Yes, I led a workshop for Western music DJs that was really, really fun. And for us, just like being at Western Writers of America convention, being at the IWMA, it's like old home week. We get to see so many of our friends and many songwriters and poets. Some have already been on this show and many will be joining us in 2024. And then on Monday of this week, I spent quite a bit of time uploading all 62 shows of this broadcast. Tonight is number 63, up onto a great platform called Podbean. And Podbean distributes it out to all of your favorite streaming podcast platforms. So you can now listen not only here on LA Talk Radio, of course, but Amazon Music and Spotify and TuneIn and Listen Notes and places that I didn't even know existed. Yeah. And that project is still underway, and we'll be posting more information about that on our Rendezvous with a Writer Facebook page and Instagram page and on our website, Rendezvous with a Writer at outwestshop.com. So that's very exciting.
It is very exciting. When we've taken some time to plan for next year. We're starting booking for the first quarter, and we've almost got the first quarter filled up, actually, with new guests. So we have some great, great shows coming up, and we have a great guest tonight.
We do. Who's our guest tonight?
Chris Mullen.
Oh, and here he is. Chris Mullen has just joined us on screen. And I'm holding up his book we're going to be talking about tonight, Rowdy, Wild and Mean,
Sharp and Keen.
Chris, welcome. We're going to get rowdy.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
That'll be fun. You know, I got a short bio. Should I read this? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Our guest tonight is Chris Mullen. Chris Mullen is an award-winning author recognized for his captivating storytelling and literary talent. Hailing from Richmond, Texas, he's a proud graduate of Texas A&M. Garnering numerous awards, Chris' Rowdy series captivates readers of all ages, securing his place as a masterful author in the young adult Western genre. The first installment of his Rowdy series, Rowdy, Wild and Mean, Sharp and Keen, was met with critical acclaim and earned the esteemed title of 2023 Independent Press Distinguished Favorite. Notably, the third book, Rowdy, Dead or Alive, stands as a 2023 Will Rogers Medallion finalist, further solidifying the series' widespread recognition and appeal. And I think that was a bronze we got there from Will Rogers. Welcome, Chris.
Welcome.
Oh, like I said, I appreciate it. Any chance I get to have to talk about Rowdy, it's a good day for me.
You know, we were trying to remember a little bit about when we first met you, and it was at Western Writers this summer.
It was an elevator ride.
Yes, it was.
We had the best meetings in an elevator.
We had the best people in elevators, yes. And but we all, you'd already caught our eye because you were so involved. You were collecting books, donations.
Yes, I was. I had started a little organization called Books for the Brave. And we were, and when I say we, I mean me and Rowdy, we're working together to put books into the hands of troops that are serving away from their families. And at our first collection at Western Writers of America, and I'm proud to say we had it just overwhelmed me the amount of books that I was able to bring home. And we're in the process of kind of finalizing some steps to get those in the hands of the troops as we speak.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And it was very fun. You, of course, you were taking pictures of the folks as they donated, which isn't really why people did it, but it was just fun. I think it just brought even more attention, kind of like, what's going on down there? What's happening down there? Who is that?
Well, you know, it's an important thing. When you have any chance to give back to your troops, it's a good thing. And for me, you know, I go to a lot of events all over the country, and WWA is one of them. And I kind of thought, you know, if we can just get one or two books here and there by the end of the year, we'll have a good amount to present. And like I said before, it was just an overwhelming response. And I think I brought home over 200 books.
Yep. Wow, but that's partly when we were in the elevator and I saw the name on. Now it's like, now I know his name because I'm close enough to get the name on the name badge. You want to go ahead and it was a little fun prelude that we were just thinking about you.
Yeah, it's good.
So do you want to
tell us a little about your background and
my background? Well, so I'm a lifelong Texan. You know, my folks were from the north, so they called themselves naturalized, but I'm the only true Texan there is in the family. Grew up in Central Texas, went to Texas A&M University back in the early to mid 90s. And started a teaching career, moved to Richmond, Texas, where I was married and have two wonderful children and have spent the last, since 1997, ever since. You know, I was teaching for 23 years, started doing some writing along the way, and now here we are sitting on LA Talk Radio discussing writing.
So when did you start writing?
So that's kind of a big question, because which kind of writing are you talking about? I did some poetry back in high school. Yeah. I did some songwriting in college and recorded some albums. But the meat of my writing started in 2011 for Rowdy specifically. And I took a good long time to write book one. I wasn't thinking to be a professional writer at the time. So between 2011 and 2018, 2019 was kind of the bulk of writing book one. Always coming up with different ideas with my kindergarten classes. We're always writing screenplays or doing movie projects. So there's always a creative aspect going on with writing there. But as far as writing for readers, I would say I started in 2011, slow rolled it all the way to 2018, decided to see what I could do with Rowdy once it was finished. So I self-published. And then in 2020, I stepped away from the classroom and have been writing full time ever since.
Very good. You know, you always taught kindergarten.
Well, it was either kindergarten or pre-kindergarten. I did have a little stint with, I taught a class called primary drama. And I was in classes with kids that were 18 months old to 5 years old and all in between. And with the 18 months old, I was like Jane Goodall, you know, out in the jungles for the first couple times because they saw this big 6'3" man come in with his guitar and they were like, who is this guy? So it was just really kind of easing my way into the pack, if you will. But the other classes, we did all sorts of stuff. We reenacted story nursery rhymes. We made up our own stories, and that was really the most fun for me. Mm-hmm. And especially in the spring semester, we had a movie project that we would end up creating original stories, original plot lines, original scripts. And these are with 4 and 5 year olds. And then we would go on location and shoot these movies. Ones I'm most proud of, we shot down at NASA. Even I took a group of kids down.
Wow.
We used green screen, all sorts of technology. And why not?
How they're fun. The most creative. How they're the most, fun.
They're so creative. I couldn't believe it.
So how did you and Rowdy meet?
Well, we met back in 2002. As I just mentioned, I was a kindergarten teacher at the time, and our class was celebrating Go Texan Day here in Houston. It's a big time when the rodeo comes to town and everybody gets crazy with the trail drive that comes in. So we all dressed up as cowboys and cowgirls and had this wonderful day of celebration. Well, at the end of the day, we finished a little early and the kids were back in the classroom just acting kind of rowdy and needing a little direction until carpool. So I, you know, teachers, we have to think on our feet. So I was like, okay, kids, everybody to the carpet. We're going to have a little story time here. I've got a guy I want you to meet. He lives way out west past the triple cactus on the ranch called the Circle R. And the kids' eyes got really big and they all run to the carpet. So I quick go to the construction paper table, throw some red and orange construction paper, crumple it up, put it in the middle of the carpet. Now we have our campfire and we're telling campfire stories about Rowdy. They liked the story so much, they asked for more the next day, and it just kind of steamrolled into the next day and the next day. And pretty soon we were at the end of the year and, you know, they were moving on to first grade and I was having a new group of kids. And I thought, well, there's kind of the end of Rowdy. Except when we got back for the next year in the new group of kids, I thought, let's give it a shot. And they bit. They loved it. So we just continued telling all sorts of Rowdy stories for the next, gosh, between 2002 and 2011. And the guy went everywhere. He did everything. He learned all sorts of lessons and made all sorts of mistakes. But it was good to see him do those, that make those mistakes and do those things, because we could always turn it into some kind of lesson for the kids and mm-hmm. what they could do to, you know, be a better person or be, you know, just mm-hmm. a life lesson. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you tell a Rowdy story every day to your class?
Just about it. Every day we could manage the time for it. You know, we slot at the end of the day, usually between 3 and 3:15 for either free music play or story time. And it either gravitated towards the guitars, like you see in the background, right. I put the kids on the guitars and the tambourines and the drums. And we just make all sorts of racket that would drive the other teachers crazy, which was just fine because we were having fun and learning at that. Yeah. Or it was story time. And, you know, most of the time they opted to hear more about Rowdy.
Yeah, I would figure that they probably were quite enthralled. I just wonder, maybe once in a while, we got to hear a Rowdy story today, and they go, I can't do one today.
Oh, well, let me tell you, the first time you tell somebody I can't, that puts in a whole different line on their sight. Don't tell me I can't, because I'll just try to figure it out.
Did any of the students come up with their own let me tell a Rowdy story. Did you have? Well,
that's the beauty of it. If you're able to start a story and then take ideas from the children or, you know, kind of play off their interests, that's always going to make it better and more enjoyable for them. You know, I'm sure over the 9 years, there are many times when the kids gave their input and their ideas and they run off with the story and say, oh, Rowdy's going down to the river to fish for catfish. Well, what happens if he catches one? Well, I don't know. What do you think happens? What if it's so big, it pulls him in the water? Well, we turn that into a story, and it's not one you'll read in one of the Rowdy books because it's a little more juvenile. But it's certainly a story that comes to mind.
Right. Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, how did you get this to a book?
So, you know, when I left, I changed schools in 2011. And at that point in time, you know, we told Rowdy for that many years, and I kind of felt a little guilty. You know, I've grown up with this kid, you know, he's 9 years old now in my head. And I thought, you know, we might ought to just write it down and write a book about it. I didn't know what kind of book at the time. I didn't know how long it was going to be, if it was going to be a novel or a short story. And so I just started writing. And little by little, the way the story came out in typical fashion, if you took what we told in the classroom and made a timeline or an outline, I'm using the general outline for what I told the kids, but from that outline, the storyline has to change and be more appropriate for whatever reader. And I just guess it came out naturally as an adventure, as an action story, as a coming of age story that's, you know, could benefit younger readers, 12 to 15, or you know, really it's a great book for any age. But that's when I started writing, was in 2011 on a summer trip. And that's the beginnings. It looks at little by little, whether it was at soccer practice or in the back of the auditorium waiting for somebody to be done with theater practice or up really late at night. And that was one of my obstacles I had to overcome, is when I start writing, it's like I kind of disappear into this other world and time stands still for me. And for everywhere else, it kind of goes crazy, right? And I'd start writing at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night before I have to teach the next day. And next thing I know, it's 1, 2 in the morning. And it's like, just like that, I've got to get to bed. So, I kind of figured to write whenever I could, whether it was 150 words or 500 words, or I wasn't really too concerned about word count at the time, because I didn't have an end goal in mind. I just knew I wanted to finish it at some point, because I figured I owed it to Rowdy and to myself. But we just kind of went one step at a time.
Was your dad a big influence on you?
He was a big influence. You know, when I was a kid, he would always tell me Western stories. He was a huge Western reader, loved Louis L'Amour. I mean, who doesn't, right? His memory was so incredible as well that he could recall specifics and facts and storylines and plots from all these different books. And what he used to do is he would tell me little made up stories based on some of the things that he would read, whether it was, you know, like I said, Louis L'Amour, Zane Grey, or whomever. And so I remember those stories. Another thing that we used to do together all the time, and it was kind of a big family staple, was that we would watch Westerns, whether it was John Wayne or Clint Eastwood spaghetti Westerns, or, you know, Jimmy Stewart and whatnot. The man Who Shot Liberty Valance, that was one I always remember watching. But I think Big Jake was probably my most favorite. And actually, in Ratty, you'll see a little bit of influence from the movie Big Jake in there. I don't know if you caught on to that or not. Mm-hmm. So watching the Western films, hearing the stories that my dad told me, those were all very impactful for me and kind of carried me along. And storytelling and being creative has always been kind of, I hate to say natural, but I enjoyed doing it. And it's something I'm glad I can pursue. And now we're just kind of putting it all together.
We're talking with our special guest, Chris Mullen, and we're talking about the first book within a whole series, Rowdy, Wild and Mean, Sharp and Keen. We're going to take a very quick break so that you can find out one of the places where Chris's books are available. This is holiday time. If you are watching this at the time period of this show, November 30th, and so think about these books also as great gifts. When we come back from this short break, we are going to meet Rowdy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer, special guest, Chris Mullen, and Rowdy.
And Rowdy, we want to talk about Rowdy. So before we get into Rowdy specifically, could you just take a moment and talk about the young adult fiction genre and how it differs from adult fiction? Because this book could be read by all ages.
It could be. There's the biggest differences is content. Is their language, you know, their situations, if you will. Pretty much free reign in adult fiction, right? And regular general fiction. In young adult fiction, you have to be a lot more sensitive. There's a degree of life lessons in the young adult genre that are certainly important. The storylines are exciting. The characters can be just as dynamic, but you have to have a sensitivity for certain topics, in my opinion, when focusing on a young adult audience. There's certain ways to say things. There's certain ways to write things. You can make any story just as engaging and exciting and thrilling without the use of profanity, without the use of inappropriate, scenes, right, or gestures or whatnot. And so for me, it was very important to keep that in the forefront of my mind when writing this book. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I wasn't really sure where Rowdy was headed, but I knew for me, I didn't need that kind of, use the word smut, to make a better story. Now I've listened to many, I've listened and read many stories from all genres, and is there a proper time and a proper place to use some of those things that we leave out of young adult? That's up for the author to decide and to figure out who his or her audience is. But for me in the young adult genre, it's about life lessons. It's about excitement and danger and taking chances and making mistakes and having falling in love for the first time and just having experiences that are beneficial, not only for the characters, but that younger readers can relate to and then maybe bring into their lives. And you might think, well, how does somebody when they're reading Rowdy relate to something that happened back in the 1800s? Well, it doesn't have to be a historical relation, a relation to the character. You know, Rowdy has lots of trials and tribulations that he faces. And just like our kids today face, for instance, standing up for himself, Rowdy was a young boy on the riverboat Delilah, and he came into contact with a bullying crewmate, and he turned the other cheek, but the guy was relentless, so he had to stand up for himself, which is an important thing to do. You know, there's always a better decision. There's never a good reason to fight or to attack. You don't want to do that. I'm not ever going to say that in my books with the Rowdy series, but there's a time to stand up for yourself. There's a time to stand up for somebody else if you see them being bullied, being talked down to, or mistreated. And so it's these situations I put in these books that will hopefully help clarify a little bit for my younger readers when's an appropriate time to act or react. And you never want to let anybody walk all over you, and you don't want to see anybody else get walked over. Mm-hmm. There's a certain ways to go about it. And I hope that with Rowdy stories, watching him go through the things that he's gone through, in the ways that he's done it, will help lead younger readers in the right direction to make a good decision.
I think you did a great job, but we've only read the first. Well, Bobby's into the second,
which was shocking.
But I think the way you characterize what you're trying to do with Rowdy and the story, and why we do this and why we wouldn't do this, and kind of what's good and what's not good. I think you convey it very, very well. So.
Well, thank you. And I think for listeners, the fact that what you just talked about, you know, clean, no profanity and so forth, this is still not a, these are hard. This is an adventure. This is a heart pounding adventure kind of story. We go from one situation that Rowdy faces with hardly a breath in between. And he meets really terrific many men that become kind of mentors to him along the way. But he still, like you say, learns life lessons. But there's nothing, if you're accustomed to profanity and you think, I wouldn't read that because it's clean. No. You would want to read this because the action... the twists and turns, the unexpected things that happen, the very engaging characters that fill this story will totally captivate you. So don't be afraid of reading it because it's a little, you know, different than maybe what you're accustomed to.
It's funny you say that. You know, I often like to, my favorite thing to do, or one of my favorite things to do, is to go to book events and to talk to potential readers. And, you know, often I'll ask somebody, you know, my favorite question is, what do you like to read? And, you know, they'll say, oh, I like to read this, or I like to read romance, or I'll show them Rowdy, and they're like, yeah, that's not really my genre or my style. And I'm like, I get it. That's fine. I said, but let me give you 2 seconds on just explaining that we're looking at an adventure story, an action story, a story of survival, and a story that's going to, it's going to really kind of reel you in. I said, if you want to give it a shot, I'd love for you to give it a shot. And, you know, sometimes people will bite on that. Other times they're like, yeah, thanks a lot. But for the most part, when they bite on that, every time, almost every time, I'm getting an email the next week or 2 weeks later going, Chris, I wouldn't have thought it, but I'm loving the book. It's not, you know, I like the fantasy, or I like, you know, like I said, romance, but I was really reeled in with Rowdy and I couldn't stop.
Yeah. Yeah. What, very quickly, tell us, like, what's the time period and what are some of the locations for book one, since that's the first book in the series?
For sure. So the time period is late 1870s, early 1880s. Book one is written in flashback. So you're going to have 3 different settings. The first setting's on the Mississippi River between St. Louis and New Orleans. The second setting in part 2 takes place in Dodge City. And then the third takes place in Lincoln, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln, New Mexico is where the Circle R Ranch is located, becomes the hub for all the rest of the stories throughout the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm. Lincoln, so, we've been there. We've been to Lincoln, New Mexico.
We have been to Lincoln.
It's
yes,
not quite a neighbor to us, but it's not that far.
But for my kids, it was way out west.
Yeah, way out west. What did you say on the other side of the triple cacti? What did you say?
Yeah, I was way out west past the triple cactus. Exactly. You know, if I said it was in Texas, they're like, oh, you know, down the street. So I had to say, nope, way outside of Texas, way out west.
Very cool. How did you, when you decided, of course you had already been creating him and he'd been part of your life for so long. Mm-hmm. Did you think at all about putting him in a different time period or a different location?
Well, you know, for Rowdy specifically, not really. I liked where he was as far as the setting was. You know, when he got to the Circle R, the circumstances and how he came to obtain the Circle R are pretty special. He's this guy looking for an opportunity to start life again. And so if I kept having him move place to place, it's like he never really had that chance uh-huh. to begin life uh-huh. for himself. As far as a different time period, not really. You know, I like the Old West time mm-hmm. for this character. Of course, like we said, it kind of stemmed out of the classroom. You know, go Texan Day, which are all we cowboys and cowgirls. And so you kind of think, what's that time frame? And so you got to kind of go back pre 1900s. And you just kind of figured out that the late 1800s was right where, you know, kind of yeah. the perfect spot for him.
Yeah. Do you want to ask him about, we have a little list of characters. You want to call out a character or two and let him.
First, I want to talk about the captain a little bit. And then I want to go back to Robert, this fellow by the name of Robertson. You know, he gets, it's an interesting guy, this Captain Hennessy, and he kind of rescues him, you know, at, what's he all about?
Yeah, you know, he rescued him when he really didn't have to. You know, without giving too much away in the beginning of the story, the captain put himself and his crew in a precarious situation in order to save Rowdy. And then beyond that, you know, I mean, he must have had a good upbringing himself. It's pretty obvious that he doesn't have family as you read the story. So there's not giving you're not really giving anything away there. But he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he can
read. Yes, he does.
And, you know, looking at Rowdy, seeing how he was able to survive what he survived, hearing the story that he's giving him, he knows something's wrong, something's going on. And it takes a good opportunity, or he takes the opportunity to give Rowdy really a second chance. And so he's got a good heart, he's got a good mind, and he's just a hard worker. He's a leader. I mean, he's the captain of the boat. And so, you know, I would just say that was Rowdy's first stroke of luck was you know, obviously being rescued, but coming into contact with Captain Hennessy, because he really became a mentor, a father figure of sorts for the next few years of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he's with him several years. And I found that whole section of the book very engaging, because you take us on a river boat that's not a gambling you know, paddle wheels, big, you know, kind of boat. And I really learned some about the Western life on the river that was totally new to me. Had never had that experience as a reader. And he really grows. I mean, he spends those years. I think there's a wonderful passage about the time he's 17. He's really become the river and working the boat, working the water, working all of that has changed his shape, his physique, his, he's really become the man, the young man that goes forward. And that boat is named Delilah. Now tell us, how did Hennessy, the character, come to you, and how did the naming of the boat come to you?
You know, I hate to say out of thin air, but I don't know anybody named Hennessy. You know, there might be this one skeptic out there going, oh, you must like whiskey, Chris. And that doesn't do with that either. You know, and it just sounded like a good name. I like the rhythm of the name. You know, as far as the name of the boat, again, generally boats are have unique names, often will be named after a lady. And I just... Delilah just happened to be there and come out as that name. So
Delilah doesn't leave us exactly during that and that see and we move from that scenario. Delilah kind of
The name appears again.
Again. What an impactful, you know, stretch of his life to have that name appear again for Rowdy down the line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another form of transportation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, interesting on the transportation part, you know, he's walking. You know, he's walking wherever he goes.
Well, when he leaves the river, when he finally gets to Dodge City, that's where things kind of start to change for him on his in his life again. He's come to another spot in his life where he's feeling like something's missing, and so you know, that's another journey that takes us another step for him.
There's a character that I really enjoyed, Colonel Forsyth. And did you want to and part of the title comes out of Rowdy and the Colonel's having some conversation. Do you want to take a moment and tell us a little bit about Colonel Forsyth?
Yeah, sure. Colonel Forsyth, he is the colonel at Fort Dodge at the time. He's a fictional character, you know, of course. The one thing I have, the one I would like to really quickly sidestep and say is the time period that Rowdy grew up in and that the story is set in is the late 1880s or late 1870s, early 1880s. And there are a lot of historical figures during that time period, especially in those geographic regions. I elected not attach Rowdy to any specific historical figure, Doc Holliday, you know, those types of guys. And so Colonel Forsyth is a fictional character. He was the colonel out of Fort Dodge. He, you know, he became, initially he was trying to recruit Rowdy to join up, in the army and you know, kind of be one of the guys. And Rowdy's like, no, I'm not here for that. And Rowdy and this other young man were escaping, being attacked by a band of Indians at the time. And the Dodge was like the closest place they could get to and were able to get there safely. But through talking with Rowdy, he kind of saw that Rowdy was a little more mature for his age, a little, he couldn't really pull the wool over his eyes. If you were pulling his sword out and swinging it around and talking, you know, talking fancy, like he was doing, certainly enthralled Jeb, that's a young boy. But Rowdy, he already had this kind of plan in his mind, and being in the military wasn't part of that. But he took a liking to him, and they've had different conversations as the story goes on, even to the point where he's now again one of kind of Rowdy's. I don't know if he's so much a mentor, but he's a confidant for him, and really important part of his being saved later on in the story.
And there's when he's in his office, the colonel's office. And I don't know, I guess it's a spoiler alert. You need to read the book. And when you get to the scene, you know it's coming because I'm telling you it's coming.
And I'll give you a little more insight. So this is after he's gone. He's made a return trip, if I'm not mistaken, to the fort.
Yes.
And he's waiting to go into speak with Colonel Forsyth is when he sees this something somewhere in the fort. And you'll once you read the story, you'll get why we're sitting here, you know, kind of like giggling about it.
Yes, you'll go, that's where that came from. Right. Let's see, is there another character? Oh, you know, of course, one of the things about the book is we have very clear good guys, even though everybody's human and everybody can have their moments. We understand that. But we have kind of good guys, and we have
some real bad guys.
Really bad guys. We have several of them. I'm just gonna write. We have, you know, Pierre, and we have Santiago, and then of course we have Vern. What's it like to write a bad guy?
Oh man, it's, I feel a little guilty at times. You know, you get to a point in a story where you've got to have an altercation or some conflict of some kind. And the only way to have a conflict is either have a daring situation with nature or to have that bad guy character. And so, or bad girl character for that is, you know, if you want to keep reading the Rowdy series.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder where some of the ideas come up. I've got a lot of, you know, I've watched a lot of movies, probably like a lot of people out there, read a lot of books, and you just draw on the things that you think are interesting, that are not too over the top, but will certainly be a shocker to some, depending on the scene. And, as an author, you always joke about don't discuss too much out loud, not because you'll give the story away, but because you'll get people starting raising their eyebrows, wondering if they need to call the police and worry about you. Kind of you're thinking about, you know, I tell my wife, yeah, I came home from writing today. I killed two guys, you know. But the bad guys, they're fun to write. I mean, but it's not a reflection of my true beliefs or how I act, but it's certainly, you know, you've got this little opportunity to dive into somebody else's mind or world and kind of create this, you know, evil or danger around them. And but know that's just a fictional being.
Well, and I know that there is loss of life throughout.
There is. It's part of life.
Part of life. And some of the people who get written out of the book are what we would might call, you know, good guys. It's when you kind of go as a reader, no. And how is that as an author when you make that decision, or does the character even say to you, I gotta go, you know?
Well, I have had the character talk to me. I have had Rowdy talk to me before when I was taking a long time to get through a scene or do something. Yeah. I've had him come to me and look at me and be like, you know, like when you're watching a movie and the actor looks right at the camera and smiles or does something.
Yeah,
that happened. But no, I mean, there's a lot to do with shock value. And in real life too, life is not always fair. The good guy doesn't always get the girl. Yeah. The bad guy doesn't always get put away. There's an element in there that says not every situation is going to come out the way you want it to. Yeah. But how will that affect my main character, and how can he move on from that? How can he get past whatever it is that, you know, situation that's happened? How will he react? And yeah, I mean, there are good guys, good guys, good girls, whatever you want to call them in these books that you might be like, whoa, what are you doing, Chris?
Yes.
But it's part of me trying to keep you entertained, knowing that there's going to be an outcome that'll be, you know, satisfying. And mm-hmm. whether it's Rowdy has through the series has learned about what revenge is and getting redemption and these types of things, which is a typical emotion for everybody, right? Yeah. It's just that shock value. I mean, there's so many different authors I could name that would you probably shake your head and go, yeah, I see what you mean. And so as an author, you try to emulate the ones you like as well. Mm-hmm. But there's not always the great happy ending. You know, my wife will be reading the books and she'll yell at me from across the house, you did what? I'm like, just keep reading.
Not the dog. I know you must have a question. Then we're going to go to a break in just a moment. Is there something, though, that you want to be sure that we haven't touched on yet?
No, I think we covered. We have a lot of characters here.
Yeah.
The one that I thought was kind of crazy is this Burn guy. He is always angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Burn's one of those. I envision Burn as kind of like the mob boss of the Old West. You know, he's got everybody in his pockets from the law to these bad guys to whomever, and you just don't cross him. And if you cross him, you better watch out, and you certainly don't stand up to him, things that happened.
He is in a few scenes, but he actually, in book one anyway, he's just ever present.
Figure in the background.
Yeah, they don't really interact that often, but his presence, like you said, is really knowing. And you know, any of us that live under that kind of a threat, there's something in our life, maybe, I don't know, it's the credit bureau calling you all the time. You know, but you just know, like, I don't want to answer that phone, I don't want to go to the door, I don't, because you just have that fear of that. And I think he's very powerful in book one
without seeing him. And you know, that it's a good thing for Rowdy that he's able to acquire this kind of core group of people to be around that are supportive of him kind of through thick and thin, you know, life and death, depending on the situation. And, you know, I think if he was on his own, he might not have survived.
Yeah. Yeah. We are having a wonderful time talking with our featured guest, Chris Mullen. And we've been talking about the main character, Rowdy, from book one, Wild and Mean, Sharp and Keen. And when we come back from this very short note from our sponsor, Out West Shop, we're going to find out what's next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. Special guest Chris Mullen. We're talking about our book here, A Rowdy.
It's book one of a series, and Chris, I think you have some exciting announcement to make about a box set, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, it is an exciting announcement. You can get the entire box set of Rowdy on Kindle through Amazon right now. All six books are included, and there's a bonus short story in there called The Hunt. The Hunt is a story that takes place in between book one and book two, is the precursor to book two, and actually begins in book one through the prologue and the interludes. So that's available right now on Amazon. More good news that I didn't tell you guys yet, which is, you know, exclusive to you guys, is that on December 26th, Wolfpack Publishing is releasing an anthology called Riding with the Pack, and there is a new, never before released Rowdy story in that book called The Real River. And that takes us back to Rowdy when he's on the river, just past a time when he has his first altercation with a certain group of individuals, if you will.
Okay.
It takes him on another adventure, which further solidifies his relationship with Mac, with Captain Hennessy, and starts to give him a better look at himself and how he needs to act as a young man.
That's exciting. So that's December 26th. That's
December 26th. Now, on a further Rowdy front, if you don't mind my
going a little
further, in 2024, I have a whole new series coming out that is called the Cass Callahan Mysteries. These are a series of contemporary Western books set in West Texas, right on the border, north of La Jita, south of Presidio, about a Houston detective and his wife who relocate after a series of horrific events in Houston, and they just got to get out of Dodge and feel like they can start over at a family ranch. Well, I think we all know that problems are everywhere, and just because you're leaving one place and going to another, problems are going to be following, not necessarily following you, but you're going to jump into a whole new frying pan worth of fire. And so that's coming out. The first book is called Deadland. That releases the end of January. There'll be three books in that series. So we'll have a January release for Deadland. We'll have a March release for a book that continues called Kill Order. And then one in May called, at the moment, Hunting El Despiadado.
Wow.
And
I'm
if you've read all the Rowdy series, and I'll tell your readers, your listeners this, if you've read all the Rowdy series, you will find a special connection between both series, whether it's Rowdy or the Cass Callahan series.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. Well, that's incredibly exciting.
It's very exciting. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Tell us how you're now with Wolfpack.
Wolfpack Publishing.
Yes, how did you and the publishing house get connected?
Yeah, that's a great question. Back when I was independent, I kind of had the thought that I'm just going to start calling people and asking for advice. I researched Western Writers of America. I researched every publisher you can possibly, you know, research that was interested in Western books and whatnot. And I ended up getting in touch with Paul Bishop, who is an acquisitions editor for Wolfpack Publishing. And we chatted over the phone for, gosh, about 45 minutes to an hour. And the guy, I mean, he didn't know me from Adam. He, you know, I was just some crazy Texan calling for advice, and he was nice enough to give me some. At the time, I only had book one written and wasn't quite ready to go the series route yet. So fast forward now about another year, I came to my first Western Writers of America event in Colorado and signed up to speak with the editors and I specifically to meet Paul Bishop. And that conversation ended up taking us to meet Mike Bray and to Jake Bray and just getting introductions to the whole Wolfpack group. And gosh, next thing you know, I'm writing for Wolfpack. And, you know, it's one of those deals where word of mouth, or not word, that's where word of mouth, but meeting people face to face was really beneficial. It's kind of the way I like to do things anyway. I know that had I not been there, it had just continued to be an email train. Things might have, you know, gotten the ball rolling, but there's so much better to when you can shake somebody's hand and look them in the eye and kind of get a read on them and, you know, let them know what you're all about as well. And that's where I met Wolfpack, was it to the first Western Writers. And, you know, going to be 9 books in with them and 2 short stories here a couple of years later.
Yeah. You do a lot of live book events. I think you, I follow you on Facebook and such. You're always getting a great photo. I'm in a coffee shop. I'm at this winery. I'm here. I'm there. I'm at this bookstore. So about how many miles do you put on your truck a year, Chris?
Well, you know, quite a few actually. I think I mentioned, it's hard to imagine putting 40,000 miles on my truck, but after doing my year's kind of roundup, not this past 23, but 2022, I believe that was
about like what you did.
40,000 miles. Yeah. And that was, every time I went somewhere, whether it was, you know, driving out to Florida to pick up my son for visiting his aunt, I had to involve myself in meeting bookstores. So I set up book signings at bookstores and just go by and introduce myself to different places. But mm-hmm. but I've had signings mm-hmm. in Florida and in Georgia on those trips. I drove to Western Writers when it was in Montana. And if you can imagine how far a drive that was up and back. But we hit 26 bookstores on that trip.
Wow.
There you go.
All the way up. I had a book signing in I think it was Casper, Wyoming at Ben's uh-huh. Books. And it was so funny because I was sitting down at the table and everybody's like, is Greg Johnson going to be here? CJ Box coming by? I'm like, just Chris Mullen, but I'm very nice to meet you. but getting feet on the ground, meeting people face to face again has opened a lot of doors for me because it shows your commitment to what you want to do. I mean, when I say anybody can write a book, anybody just can't write a book. It's a very hard process and I don't want to, you know, take that away from anybody.
If an audience, I'm looking at time. If an audience member wants to follow you somewhere, where do they get your information, Chris?
Everything for me is Chris Mullen Writes. All one word, Chris Mullen Writes is Facebook, Instagram, Threads. The website is chrismullenwrites.com. Please follow me on my Amazon author page as well. You're going to get up to minute, you know, insight on what's coming out, where you can buy different Rowdy books or the Cass Callahan books. So pretty much Chris Mullen Writes is the go-to. If you can't remember that, just Google Chris Mullen and Rowdy and we should be the
person. And Jim always likes to enjoys picking a quote or two from a book. And I think you have a couple, honey. Yeah.
Great.
I do.
What are you going to share?
Well, this first one's kind of a motivational quote. You know, I kind of like this character you created, Captain Hennessy, you know. You know, it's kind of like he's got 1,000 men with him, but he really only has a handful. But he starts out when he's ready to take off. He said, up river, men, our fortune awaits around the bend. The current will fight. We will boost through the night. To your post, up river bend.
Yeah. And you have another one.
We have one. This is philosophical. And this is really from Roddy's dad. Mm-hmm. Which we never really get to meet Rowdy's dad. Doing right for yourself is good. Doing right by others makes all the difference.
Yeah. And that's not something that's just pertinent for Rowdy. It's pertinent for everybody in today's day as well.
That is
correct. We have had a wonderful time. Don't go away, Chris. We're just going to kind of wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us. We've been talking about Rowdy. Wild and Mean, Sharp and Keen, and I'm into book 2, and you just will want to read the whole series. It's fantastic. We want to, again, thank you for being with us tonight. Next week, Lynn Downey, who we also met at Western Writers, although I discovered that I met her years ago at the Autry Museum. Lynn will be with us, and we'll be talking about 2 books. One, Dude or Die, which I started reading last night. I had to put Rowdy down just for a few minutes to start reading Dude or Die, and really, really, really a fun book. The second book that we'll be talking about is a biography of Levi Strauss, and the title of it is Levi Strauss, The Man Who Gave Blue Jeans to the World. She has also written a book about Levi Strauss for the Images of America company. And I met her when this book came out years ago, again, at an event at the Autry Museum. So that was fun to find ourselves at a round table together. And I was sitting next to her and she got talking and I thought, I think I've met her. Where would I have met her? And we got talking about Levi Strauss, and I remembered exactly. So we're looking forward to having her with us. Thank you to everyone who's watching live, or you're listening on a podcast, or you're picking this up on YouTube, LA Talk Radio's YouTube page. We're just so delighted that you are with us. And we thank Sam Hassan for the closing music, which we're going to hear in a moment, the Hot Texas Swing Band. And do you have a closing comment?
A closing comment. On behalf of Out West, remember, it's always a great day out West.
We'll see you next week. Have a great week. Keep reading.